We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Groats is also on the Twitch stream. So if you want to take a look at him and the hair, because he's got the lettuce going today, and I dig it. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score.
Twitch. Oh, hey. Hi, Lawrence. Yeah, I've got COVID hair, as I like to call it. I got one haircut during COVID. I just haven't gotten a second one yet. Oh, and I only got up about an hour ago. So, you know, there's all that. And so I've got coffee and LaCroix going right now. I got to tell you, Lawrence, Matt Nagy came in hot today. It is his usual press conference, as he does day after game. He had it at 10 o'clock this morning. And he came in with one of my favorite words, Lawrence, is freaking. And he was coming in with the freakins hard, as in, you better be freaking detailed. This offense is not good enough right now. If I call a route and it calls for five steps and cut, I want five steps, not six cuts or six steps. So it sounds to me like his offensive players have been taking a few liberties, doing their own version of the Matt Nagy offense, and he's sick of it.
Sitting in for the vacationing Lawrence Holmes today is the Score's Mark Grody.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
I'll make you a bicycle. I'll do all the things that Lawrence Holmes does, just maybe not quite as well as Lawrence does them. And, by the way, I am not on Twitch right now, but I see that a link has been sent to me, so during the break, in just a little bit, I will get on Twitch.
You twitched the samples.
Yes, you twitched them so you could be on the radio. So I will make sure to be on Twitch shortly. And yeah, no, I've not gotten a haircut, so you could see the floppy. My hair has become the following: unmanageable. So Twitch coming soon. Yeah, man, I am in here for Lawrence Holmes today, 12 to 2. I'm glad that you are with me. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm on Twitter. You can find me there right now if you would like. You can follow me on Twitter. We can interact on Twitter. We can go back and forth on Twitter. At Mark Grody Sports is the way to do that. Follow me on Instagram. I don't do enough Instagram, so come follow me. Let's play on Instagram as well. I do put stuff up there. Some sports stuff, some not sports stuff, some silly stuff, just like everybody. I put stuff up there. So, yeah. So follow me on Instagram. We can hang out there as well. As I was just telling Bernsey, we are going to talk White Sox in just a little bit with Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine podcast. Love talking to Josh. I can't wait to hear his reaction to everything that went down yesterday with the White Sox and the firing of Ricky Renteria and what it means in the bigger picture. And this is the day two coverage, so that means we get more into who it might be to replace Ricky Renteria, what it all means for the Chicago White Sox. We'll have Josh Nelson talk about that in just a little bit. 1 p.m., yes, Mark Podash from the Chicago Sun-Times to talk about the Chicago Bears. He was just on the Zoom meetings that I was a part of as the Bears assistant coaches were doing their things, getting a chance to talk to all of them. That is ongoing right now as well. So we'll get into the Bears and the Sox with a couple of guests as well. I want to talk about the Chicago Bears right now. And we all know about the deficiencies that exist with the Bears offense. And we can get into some of that later on as well. But there's something about the Bears that is not sitting well with me beyond the offense. You know what I don't like? You know what I really hate? Is the following phrase: bend, but don't break. the bend but don't break defense. That's what the Bears defense is right now. People have said that. Matt Nagy has said that after games, that they bent but they didn't break. I hate the way it sounds. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like the way it feels. And another thing, Mr. Pop, look, I don't like seeing the big chunks that come from the bend but don't. It's living dangerously. From a perspective of watching, I know for fans, it's stressful to watch that. It feels like a big 100-yard gamble. Like, we know that you might hold the opposition to a field goal at the end, but those big chunks leading up to it, they're just stressful. And eventually you're going to get burned. And, yeah, look, the Bears defense, they have earned the benefit of the doubt for absolutely carrying this franchise for the last 2 years and change. But maybe I need to change my standards, but I do have a higher standard for the Bears defense. I have an elite standard for the Bears defense. I have a 2018 standard for defense. And maybe I need to get over it. Maybe that time has passed, but there's just too many of the same people that still exist from that roster. And I know the mentality from being around those players and what they want and what they expect from themselves too. So while it's been really good, the defense, I expect great and I expect elite. And what drives me crazy, I'm always shocked. Actually, shock is a better word. When I see running backs from oppositions of the Bears this year bursting through big holes against the Bears. First game of the year, the 35-year-old Adrian Peterson looking like the 25-year-old Adrian Peterson. Against Atlanta, Brian Hill, remember Brian Hill? The running back. 35-yard touchdown run for Atlanta. Todd Gurley was having his way, and Todd Gurley's not the same Todd Gurley. Colts went over 100 yards rushing, controlled the game with a run at the end. The other night against Tampa Bay, while there was many other interesting things going on in that game, Ronald Jones, meantime, was crashing through. 17 carries for 106 yards. It's a little bit jarring when I see running backs breaking through against the Bears defense. It's just something that I always thought at the minimal competency, essential competency for the Bears defense, that the run would be stopped. And yeah, occasionally somebody's going to break through, but it's just been at an alarming rate this year. I was part of the Zoom conversation yesterday with Akeem Hicks, the always thoughtful and entertaining Akeem Hicks, and I asked him about this concept that I don't like.
Hey, Akeem, what do you think about the connotation or the label of being a bend but don't break defense? Are you guys good with that?
It's definitely a football term, right? It's something that, during the course of a game, you don't have control of everything, especially when you're playing players like Tom Brady. Your job is to knuckle up when you need to. When your back is against the wall, how hard are you going to fight? Right. And you see that when we step into the red zone, there is no quit in our defense. There is no give up. There is no go ahead, take this score and we'll move on. We play football. And during the course of a football game, you're going to lose a rep or two. Your job is to come back and play to the best of your ability. Having a short memory, a term that has become cliche. You got to be able to have that. You got to be able to say, hey, we didn't get the success that we wanted on first down. Matter of fact, they just got another first down. What are we going to do next? As far as the terminology, bend but don't break, whatever it is, we are going to play football, and that's what we believe in.
Yeah, the short memory part is good. It's a good mentality to have, and the red zone defense has been impressive. Teams are right now looking 7-for-19 against the Bears in the red zone this season as far as scoring touchdowns. That's good, 30-something percent. It's really good. I just expect A's out of the Bears offense, not B's. They're B's, you know, hey, man, B's are what I got through high school and college with. I expect A's. I expect A's from the Bears defense. So I'm setting a higher standard for the Chicago Bears. Now, missing Eddie Goldman. Now, that could be a real thing. And, of course, last year, the irony is that they were missing Akeem Hicks. And running backs were having their way at times last year. I mean, right away. Like, he leaves the Oakland game and Jacobs was bursting through against the Bears in London. And Eddie Goldman was a guy who did the dirty work. Sometimes he'd gobble up multiple blockers. And he's a guy, too, Eddie Goldman, who's got a little bit better every year of his career, and Hicks was asked about Eddie G as well.
I wouldn't imagine that this will be the last time I hear about us not having Eddie Goldman in the building and being able to play with him. And I think that just goes to show how important a key player and an elite player that Eddie Goldman is. What we've done here is do our best to not replace, but continue to play football at a high level. And I think Bilal Nichols, John Jenkins, Brent Urban, right, Mr. Guitar Rock Out Solo, everybody has done their best in order to fill that hole that was left in our defense by losing Eddie Goldman. And I think that we've succeeded in a lot of ways. But like I said earlier in the earlier question, we're looking to improve in every facet of our game. I'm looking to improve in the areas that I'm deficient in. I'm sure Danny and Roquan and Eddie and Matt and everybody along the defensive, you know, front and secondary are looking to be better because we know that we're missing an elite player.
Yeah, I mean, you could almost say that there's been a ramp up for the Bears defense. I suppose that's fair to say with the lack of a preseason. And Hicks has been terrific this year. 3.5 sacks. He's had 5 tackles for loss. Coming off last year's injury, he's been really good. And we are broadcasting live from the 670 The Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes today in until 2 o'clock here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Josh Nelson talking White Sox in just a little bit with us from the Sox machine. Tackling has to be cleaned up for the Bears. A lot of missed tackles have occurred. The Khalil Mack game against Tampa Bay, it can't be understated, like, the importance of it. You saw this, how spectacular that game was, and it was fun to watch, and you enjoyed the moment for sure, but he looked like his old badass self again. There's that tiny part in the back of your brain, I know there was, with Khalil Mack, just because he's kind of been, he had 8.5 sacks last year. I mean, that was it for his season, and there was a slow decrescendo, it felt like, with his year trying to figure out what's wrong with Khalil Mack. Well, he's got all these blockers coming out. Is he injured? And there's that little part in the back of your head where you're like, are his skills just decline? Is he just getting older? He's 29, going on 30. Are we just seeing the slight decline of a great player? Just that, it wasn't the overriding part, but just a small part where you needed to see dominant, spectacular, oh my God, Khalil Mack. And you saw it the other night, looking like 2018 Khalil Mack. And, you know, I think it's fair to say, and nobody is being very specific about it, that he was slowed by knee injury last year, and maybe even some this year. He's officially has been taken off the, at least last week he was taken off the injury report. Haven't gotten an official injury report yet. We'll get the first one tomorrow. But he'd been living on that injury report all year with the knee injury. He had been down as questionable, and now we find him full force, full go, taken off the injury list, and looking like Khalil Mack. So it was just incredibly important to see that. And, you know, one of the things, too, that some people were talking about is that, okay, well, Khalil Mack, he smelled blood in the water. You have a rookie covering him. There are some things that Tampa Bay was doing schematically, as in leaving Khalil Mack alone one-on-one with those guys. And look, that's happened before. Like, even last year when it felt like we didn't know what was going on with Khalil Mack, there was plenty of one-on-one with Mack. There were plenty of times where he was covered and he was not able to break through. There was times when there was rookies on him last year and he was not able to break through. And everybody's wondering, okay, what's going on? So even though there were some things that worked in his advantage for this game, we just hadn't seen that from Khalil Mack. So I think it was really important that we see that. 312-644-6767 for the phone or for the text here today. Are you with me on bend but don't break? Because, like, it's great that they're keeping the team to 3, but one of these times, or some of these times, they're going to break through. And Carolina is a team that, when you looked at the schedule to start the year, at least this is me, you kind of marked that up as a win. You kind of said, all right, you know, new coach, new system, all that kind of stuff. That looks like it could be a win. And maybe even a couple weeks ago, you're still saying that. But Carolina is, they've figured something out. They have won three in a row. They're coming off a win, albeit over Atlanta on the road. But they have a good, they got a really good offense. They're sixth in passing this year. Of course, the quarterback being Teddy Bridgewater, sixth in passing this year. So they're really good, like passing beware. And then what they are allowing, and this is why it's incredibly important that the Bears get their run game back together, they are allowing 125 rushing yards per game. So the Bears have a chance, hopefully, to get that back going, but they can't be thinking that they're just going to be able to have their way against the Carolina defense in terms of their passing. Bridgewater coming off a game where he was 27 of 37 for 313 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He's having a nice year now that he is the man, got the contract there, sort of rebuilt his career. I know the Bears were sniffing around Teddy Bridgewater as a possibility, a quarterback at one point in time. He's got a couple of really nice receivers. Robbie Anderson, who went for 112 yards last week, 377 yards and all. DJ Moore, that's the name you know, four catches, 93 yards last year. Only 288 for the whole year, but he's their big play guy. I mean, 16 yards per catch is what he is averaging. So secondary has got to be on their game this week for the Chicago Bears. And how about this? How about the number one running back for the Carolina Panthers is Mike Davis. Yeah, Mike Davis, who, of course, was with the Bears last year. We barely knew ye. Mike Davis, who couldn't really get on the field for the Bears, and then eventually was he waived or traded? I don't even remember. But he had, against Atlanta, 16 rushes, 89 yards, 9 catches for 60 yards. So he's been a dual threat for that team this year. So they've got some things going on. So in other words, don't underestimate Carolina. And there's always that team, too, who has the slow start. They were 0-2 Carolina was the start of the year. It almost felt like you could put the foot on them. But they're the team that has won three in a row and maybe one of the more dangerous teams in the NFL right now just because they are streaking and they are feeling themselves. And that's the game where the Bears do have to go on the road and play Carolina at noon. So we'll get more into the Bears a little bit later on. Lots of things that I want to talk about. But I am looking forward to talking to Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine about everything going on with the White Sox and more specifically the firing of Ricky Renteria and who will be the next guy. We are talking White Sox next. Grody in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
This is an opportunity for us as an organization. We've obviously been somewhat insular in terms of our managerial hirings over the last several years. This is an opportunity for us to speak to individuals with other organizations that have had success and learn from them and get their outsider objective perspective on our organization. Ultimately, I think the best candidate or the ideal candidate is going to be someone who has experience with a championship organization in recent years. Recent October experience with a championship organization would be ideal. But we're going to keep an open mind. And over this next several weeks, we'll diligently pursue who's on our lists and go from there.
That is White Sox general manager Rick Hahn discussing the firing of Ricky Renteria, subsequently who they might hire or what type of guy they would hire, giving at least one bullet point qualification right there. I'm Mark Grody, in for Lawrence Holmes today until noon on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. I am now on Twitch, so if you want to jump on the Twitch stream, you could do that too. Right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And one texter from the 206 says, Mark, we all love you, but seeing you floppy, and now I just lost it. There it is. But seeing you floppy sounds as appealing as the time you did the first verse of Triumph live on the air. Yeah, that did happen. I feel like I am looking floppy right now, but maybe a little bit more of a controlled flop. Anthony Heron of our Score staff, and then he works everywhere else as well, referred to me as, and I don't know if I like this or not. I had to let it sink in. He said I look like an aging rock star, or at least aging rock star hair. I resent that he put the aging part in there. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, the rock star part, cool. But the aging rock star, like I'm Keith Richards or something, like I got big gouges in my face. But, I mean, that's a pretty successful career if that would be the case. All right, let's get into the Chicago White Sox. One of the guys that I always talk to when there are White Sox matters or not is Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What's going on, Sox Machine? What'd you think about the move yesterday and the firing of Ricky Renteria or whatever they're calling it, the mutual parting? What was your reaction, sir?
Honestly, shocked, Mark. I was chilling. I was getting ready to come home from my vacation, and then the news broke. I thought it was going to be a pretty dull press conference for the White Sox as far as their end-of-season press conference. A lot of people were reaching out, wondering, you know, why there's been such a delay, and I wasn't expecting any radical changes from the organization. Maybe a lot of talking around questions as far as preparing for the off season, not really knowing as far as the financial situation of how much money the team can spend or what the market is going to look like. But to fire not only Rick Renteria, after what I thought was a successful 2020 season, the first postseason appearance in 12 years during a pandemic, I was surprised. And then they also fired Don Cooper. That this is really signaling that the White Sox really want to make a shift as far as the thinking and how the ball club thinks in the clubhouse. And I'm really intrigued on who it's going to be in the end. I've got a very strong feeling on who it is going to be, but it'll be interesting to see on how this process plays out.
All right. What's your strong feeling on who it's going to be?
All right, Mark. My thinking right now.
Whoa, this is very, hold on a second. This is very dramatic from you, Josh Nelson.
Yeah.
This is something you've been waiting to release. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. I think there may be a deal already done with AJ Hinch.
Mm.
And the reason why I feel this way is that there's really no reason to move on from Rick Renteria and say go after a Joe Espada from Houston, who was in serious consideration for the Chicago Cubs job last year. Because he's unproven.
Yep.
And if you want a proven manager from a championship organization that has had success in October, well, you got two options. It's Hinch or Alex Cora. Now, for those that are paying attention to what's happening in Boston, they have completely wiped out as far as their coaching staff after this season, except for one coach, Alex Cora's BFF. So it looks like, and from Boston, the whispers are getting louder, that they may want to bring back Alex Cora. And that process of elimination leaves it to A.J. Hinch. And I know Detroit, and especially Al Avila, their general manager, has made it known that he is willing to hire either Cora or Hinch to take over the Detroit Tigers job. So there's a little pressure on both of the Sox organizations if they are very interested in bringing in Hinch or Cora to get something quickly done after the World Series. Because I don't think the Tigers are going to sit around and wait. I think they're going to be aggressive to try to find a manager to help them through the rebuild and make the transition, just like the White Sox did, to a competitive window. So I don't think Rick Hahn makes this move unless he is very confident that he's going to be able to get who he wants to be the new manager. And I think it is going to be A.J. Hinch in a couple of weeks.
Do you like that?
Well, I think he did a very good job in Houston, but man, it is coming with some baggage. Like A.J., he is going to need to sit down in front of the media, and he's going to need to sit down in front of the clubhouse. I would love to be a fly on the wall with this conversation with Yasmani Grandal, because he cost Grandal a World Series ring. Again, the Houston Astros and A.J. Hinch, they won the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, which Grandal was on that ball club. And I know Dallas Keuchel would be ecstatic to have his former manager come on, as he tweeted out that big things are coming for the Chicago White Sox. But that would be an interesting conversation, and he will need to address on how he has changed and what changes that he will do as a manager to avoid another cheating scandal in Chicago if he was to be hired as the White Sox manager. But this is someone, he does check off a lot of boxes. You know, everyone cites his psychology degree, and that has helped him as far as handle a lot of personalities in a clubhouse. Former major league catcher, he understands the art of pitching, and the White Sox will definitely need that skill set because they're going to need a new pitching coach. And I think there's going to be a lot of emphasis on the White Sox this offseason to enhance their development of these young pitchers and maybe even go out and find another pitcher or two in free agency or trade market to boost the pitching staff, because the pitching staff ultimately let the White Sox down, and why the White Sox didn't win the American League Central and couldn't get out of the first round of the American League postseason. So I think I would be fine with it, but there's a lot of baggage, Mark. There's a lot of drama associated with it, and there would be a lot of clearing of the air that would need to be taking place after the hiring.
The only thing I would say about that is oftentimes when a player or a manager comes in with that kind of baggage, it's all taken care of within one 24-hour news cycle, one decisive press conference where he'd come in and answer 1,000 questions, maybe even follow-ups the next day, and then it completely goes away. So, Josh, I don't know if that would be the case, but I think we've seen that in the past so many times that for your sake, man, because I know your passion, I think that I think they would get through that. And you know, I'll throw it out there to the Sox fans. Do you care, 312-644-6767, that he would come with that baggage, and what kind of questions does he have to answer? I want to circle back. We're talking to Josh Nelson of the Sox Machine podcast here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. I'm Mark Grody filling in for Lawrence Holmes today here until 2 o'clock. Then it's the Danny Parkins show. But you kind of, from having talked to you before, you are one of those guys who was not overly critical of Ricky Renteria. You were critical of him, but you never seemed like a guy who wanted him out of the job. Do you think they should have given Ricky Renteria another year or two? Should this have been his team still?
I think I would have went into 2021 as Renteria being the manager, only because this year was so odd. It was a 60-game season. And it was in a pandemic. You started up spring training, then you shut down, and then you have another spring training in July. And everything was looking really good until obviously the final week of the season. And that, you know, the game three did not end up working out well for the White Sox. But there were also other problems. There were injuries that snuck up on the White Sox. And there was a lack of depth. Starting pitchers were not getting past the fifth inning. And they rolled into the playoffs with two starting pitchers. And in game two, Dallas Keuchel did not pitch very well. And it really put Rick Renteria in a tough spot. And I was expecting him to continue in 2021. Now, if the White Sox did not meet expectations, if they didn't make the postseason, or even win the American League Central, I would say, yes, it's time. Go find another manager to take you to the next level. But because of the situation right now and the fact that A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora are going to get managerial jobs after their suspensions are cleared, after the World Series ends, I understand where Rick Hahn is coming from in a sense of we need to make a move now because I don't know who's going to be available managing next year, but I know that these two guys are free and that these two guys are more confident can take us to the next step than Rick Renteria. So I understand the decision that Rick Hahn had made. I would have not made it, but I get it, and we'll see how it plays out. Removing Don Cooper, I would say I do agree with Rick Hahn because the development on the pitching staff has gone really stale. And I do not think his comments about Michael Kopech opting out makes anything easier with one of these pitching prospects that you're really hoping emerges to be an ace that you were thinking he would be ever since you traded Chris Sale to the Boston Red Sox. So I understand as far as removing Cooper, but I don't think you could remove just one. I think you'd have to remove both. With what happened, if that is the reason why you're moving on from Renteria, is the final week of the regular season and the postseason. But again, we'll see what happens. And I do feel strongly that it is going to be A.J. Hinch as the next White Sox manager.
I kind of agree with you on Ricky Renteria, too, and that maybe he deserves another chance. Because here's what I look at this whole thing as with Ricky. I look at it as it's a bold move. I think it's a symbolic move of where the organization is going in terms of what they are willing to do and how they are willing to act. And I think it is in accordance with a winning team and maybe a big market team. You can say, I just don't know if it's a good move yet. And nobody knows right. If it's a good move yet because we don't know who the next manager is and we don't know if the next manager is going to be good. So just to say that this was a good move, I don't think it was. But I do think, I'm wondering if you'd agree or disagree with me, that from a symbolic standpoint, it's a 10.
Yeah, I agree with you on the symbolic part. We at Sox Machine are making an update. Our off-season plan project that allows fans to act as a general manager, the payroll is increasing. So even though Rick Hahn said that there's uncertainty in the market, we are projecting that the White Sox are going to spend some money this off-season. Because you can't make this symbolic move, and you can't say we're ready for the next step to be a championship contender and stroll in with a $130 million payroll. Now, I get it. Tampa Bay is in the American League Championship Series, and they're two games away from going to the World Series. That team is, and that organization, is constructed in a much different manner than the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox have to address starting pitching. I think they need to bring another starter. They have to address right field, and they have to address DH. Unfortunately, they do not have enough internal options to really fill in those gaps. So if you want to take this next step, it's got to be more than just A.J. Hinch. And because I don't think A.J. Hinch alone will help the White Sox become a 95-win team. Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams are going to need to work together to figure out and find these targets and sign these guys or trade for these types of players to help bridge the gap. Because if you don't bridge the gap and you bring in someone like A.J. Hinch, I don't know how Hinch takes a team that would have been projected to win 85 games in 2020 to become a 95-game winner just based on player development alone. The White Sox do need some help. So great, you want to get a better manager, but you need to back it up with some more additional big moves that you made like last season when they signed Grandal and Keuchel.
Last question. How relieved were you to hear that Garrett Crochet does not need Tommy John surgery?
I think it's huge. because Crochet is going to be a very critical part of the White Sox bullpen. At this moment, I do not think the White Sox are going to bring Alex Colomé back. I think it's a lot of money to pay a closer $12 million, $12 million plus dollars. And there's going to be a lot of competition. Just look at the dumpster fire in Philadelphia that they call their bullpen. Colomé is going to have a lot of suitors. But you have Aaron Bummer on the cheap. He's $2 million next season. If you make him the closer, and then you have Crochet fill in for Bummer's spot, pitching the seventh or eighth inning, then I think you have very effective relievers on the cheap. And you can spend that cash elsewhere, whether bringing in someone like Marcus Stroman to help as far as the started pitching, or go take that $12 million and add some more to get George Springer to play right field for you next year. I think you could spend that money better elsewhere, and you could only do that if you know that Garrett Crochet is going to be healthy enough to pitch for you in 2021. So to get that clearance, and he will not need Tommy John surgery, is huge for the White Sox offseason plans, and I expect Crochet to develop into the White Sox version of Josh Hader in 2021 and be a very effective weapon for whomever is going to be managing this ball club.
And I would love to see Marcus Stroman and Tim Anderson hug it out and be on the same team.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I like some of the names that you're throwing out.
Yeah,
Josh, I suppose I'll probably give you a call. The second they name A.J. Hinch the manager, I'll give you a call and have you on again.
Yeah, I've already got that post scheduled in drafts. Just waiting for the press release to make it official. But, yeah, if I were a betting man, I would say it's A.J. Hinch.
All right, man. I will talk to you later. Thanks for coming on, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Mark.
All right, that is Josh Nelson. Follow him on Twitter, @SoxMachine_Josh. When we return, I'm going to read some of your White Sox text messages. I also, if we have time in this segment, I also want to talk about Ozzie Guillen. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Hope you're well on a Tuesday. Mark Grody in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I was just thinking about this, too, because Josh Nelson brought up Don Cooper, and it seems like the consensus is among Sox fans, observers, broadcasters, fans, whomever, that the real surprise slip-in yesterday was that Don Cooper got fired, or he was part of this just because he had been around so long. And it's true. I mean, I was watching that Zoom press conference very closely, and it was weird that it was like, oh, yeah, and Don Cooper's not coming back. They didn't mention that early on, which I think that they should have done. But whatever. The surprising part here about Don Cooper is how in the hell did Don Cooper last for 18 years as the pitching coach for the Chicago White Sox? How did that happen? And I'm not saying he was bad at his job, because I would say he was probably mostly good at his job, but that is amazing. And I don't know that it's not unprecedented. I'd have to go back and look, but it's incredible when a position hitting coach or pitching coach lasts that long, because they're usually the first ones to go. Before the manager goes, the pitching coach is out. The White Sox have had multiple hitting coaches and just about every other base coaches, but Don Cooper has remained constant. That's the question I'm asked. How did he last for 18 years as the pitching coach? That's incredible. Was he that good? Was he that important to guys like Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn and Robin Ventura and Ozzie Guillen? And he didn't even get along with Ozzie Guillen. So I don't know. There's something a little odd about that, to be honest with you. And I don't want any man or woman to lose their jobs, but it's the way the sports world works, and they are compensated well. How did he last 18 years as the pitching coach? I mean, it's really, when you think about that, that's amazing. 32 years in the organization. Don Cooper has been part of the White Sox since 1988. And it might be, I mean, this might go to the very top. This might be symbolic of the loyalty that Jerry Reinsdorf shows for people. And maybe he had a connection with Don Cooper, because it was almost like You can do whatever you want, Kenny Williams or Rick Hahn. Hire you whoever you want as a manager. But you know what? One thing we'd like you to do is to keep Don Cooper. And I think that what happened yesterday and what happened in last year's offseason for the White Sox, the Yasmani Grandal signing, that was symbolic of we're going to spend money and we're going to go for the best players at positions. And then it was symbolic that the Sox fired Ricky Renteria, a man that I would imagine there probably was a feeling of affection and loyalty towards because, but from all accounts, I don't know the man, but from all accounts, he's a good guy. So that showed that they didn't fall for that loyalty. So there's both sides of this. The lack of loyalty to Ricky Renteria and the almost too loyal to Don Cooper for too long, but he is out the door now as well. I invited some of your text messages from Sox fans specifically about how you would feel if AJ Hinch was brought in as a manager. I'll just read one of these and get to more of these a little bit later on. This text struck me from the 319. I moved to Bridgeport with the purpose of seeing more White Sox games. My husband and I got our engagement photos there. It is our home away from home, but I will not set foot into the park or spend a dollar on the team if and when Hinch is manager. Integrity matters, and I won't be part of any fandom that compromises that. I'm tired of rich white men saying sorry and then being able to work again after such terrible moral judgment. And you're right, because what's going to happen if he's hired is he's going to say sorry, he's going to be answered questions, people will have opinions and hot takes for 24 hours, and then he'll be the manager of the White Sox, and that's the way he'll be judged. So that's exactly how that will work out if Hinch is named the manager of the Chicago White Sox. We've got more Chicago Bears to discuss next. Mark Potash will be on from the Chicago Sun-Times next. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.